When we consider that in the pulpits today, ministers stand and blaspheme God and His Son and His Word, belittle the atonement and set aside the inspiration of the Scriptures, deny the deity of Jesus Christ and His resurrection, when we know that so-called Christian ministers blasphemously insult and reject the Holy Spirit, we should be glad that there are some who still hold fast to the fundamentals and preach Christ sufficiently to get men saved and healed in body. And there followed great multitudes. He fed as many as 14,000 at one meeting. This explains why large companies gather to hear some men today. That was a picture of the end time. God's infinite grace is back of it all to bring this wicked age face to face with the mighty Redeemer, Savior, and Physician before the end comes. This explains the phenomenal success of some world-famed evangelists today. They preach Christ as the Savior from sin, sickness, and hell in view of the soon coming of Him whose right it is to reign. And God seems to wink at some of the methods which they use, methods that more spiritual workers could not employ. He takes advantage of every providence to attract a lost world to His dear Son that men may be saved and escape the terrible things that are about to envelop this world. O wondrous grace, O boundless love! There are many false prophets and false remedies and false healers everywhere. It is even being announced that within this very year, the world's emancipator will arise. Do you wonder that God is moving men to sound out the name of Jesus, the only name that can save and heal? Jesus only is the true emancipator. He will not arise from somewhere. He will come from heaven, flashing forth like the lightning. The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. A new program in disguise. Jesus did not always address large gatherings. Now and then He spoke to a select company, invariably very small. Near the end of His career, He intimated a different order of things. What did Jesus mean by "my church" in Matthew 16 and 18? Mary and Martha, Luke 10, verses 38 through 42, are figures of two grades of believers in evidence today. What is the meaning of Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, learning His word? A later visit with Martha and Mary, John 12, verses 1 through 9, not in Martha's house, however, as in the other cases, plainly pictures the heavenly banquet which we hope soon to enjoy. Likewise, there are those here now who preach not alone the gospel of the kingdom of God on earth or Christ's reign with Israel over the nations, but they preach also the gospel of His heavenly kingdom, 2 Timothy 4, verse 18. The high or upward calling of God, Philippians 3:14, the gospel of the glory, 1 Timothy 1:11, Revised Version. They expect to meet the Lord in the air and sit with Him on His throne set in heaven, Revelation 4:1-2. Some saints do not expect to return from heaven and sit on a throne in Jerusalem in Palestine. They hope to occupy the new Jerusalem, Revelation 3:12, and reign over the earth through other believers who will be under them in Christ. Accordingly, the gospel of Jesus Christ in its fullness brings far more than salvation from sin and healing for the body. It brings more than the Pentecostal anointing and power from on high. Yes, it means far more than receiving the various gifts of the Spirit, speaking in tongues, gifts of healings, working of miracles, etc. None of these, nor all of them together, are the sufficient test of growth in grace and of the knowledge of God and of deep spirituality. Nor will such saints obtain the highest reward. Suffering with Christ is the price of rulership. When the latter rain fell and people were being filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues, it was thought that they were then perfect and full grown. We supposed that we had reached the pinnacle of the possibilities of grace. Alas, very soon we found that though we were endued with power from on high, we were only babes in Christ. We had only received a new spring suit, proof of Christ's resurrection, and were dressed up to go to school. We were ready for the primary department and began to take lessons from our heavenly tutor, the Holy Spirit. Oh, glory to God! A deep longing was awakened in some of us to know the Scriptures and thereby grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. As we went on to study the Word, we saw that so it was in the beginning of this age. First, many people were filled with the Spirit and mighty miracles were wrought, and all were looking for the Lord to return and set up his kingdom. But there came a radical change in the great panorama. Another scene, hitherto unknown, was soon enacted. Another group of actors were brought upon the stage. The great director arrested a man en route for Damascus, called him aside for a private course of training, and set him on the stage as the chief actor with an entirely new play. That man was Saul of Tarsus, the chief of sinners, who afterward was known as Paul, the chiefest apostle. Therefore, that same Paul commenced to teach that Christ is the head of his body, which is the church, and that the church is the fullness of Christ, and that Christ and the church fill all things. He taught that in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and that God Almighty dwells in his people by the Holy Spirit during this age. Then we saw that the Holy Spirit was given to us to guide us into all the truth and show us things to come. The Holy Spirit was given to unfold unto us the Word of God that we might grow up into Christ in all things, because God had planned that a company of saints should constitute the bride of the Lamb. But before there could be this bride, there must be a body, just as in the case of Adam and Eve. Eve was a rib builded out of Adam's side. A deep sleep came on Adam, and God performed the first operation that was ever performed on a human being. He took a rib out of Adam's side and builded that rib into a woman. That woman became Adam's wife, his bride. I want you to notice God did not constitute Adam's whole body a wife. He just used a rib. People are teaching that the whole church is the bride of Christ. If that figure back there means anything, it contradicts such teaching. Note another illustration from the Word which shows that the whole church is not the bride of Christ. In a family are husband and wife, father and mother, and children. A large family has many children. Here is a man that is looking for a throne. He is also looking for a wife, for a king needs a queen. Does he marry all the girls in that family? No, one at a time is enough for him. They are all in the family, one family. But he selects one woman out of that family, and she becomes his bride. Just so, here is the family of God, the household of God, the household of faith. Jesus Christ is going to choose a company that will constitute his bride, but he will not marry the whole family of God. Do you see how sensible is that? It is scriptural. That is why it is sensible. Not all the children in a family are of marriageable age. Sometimes they lack wifehood qualifications even though they are old enough. It is just like that in God's family. Jesus will certainly not marry a baby. None that are loose in their habits, selfish in their living, worldly or carnal in their walk, cold and distant toward him in their fellowship and critical in their spirit toward other saints. None such need expect to be in the bridehood of the Lamb. Most surely they will be disappointed, for Christ will marry a chaste virgin. 2 Corinthians 11. Furthermore, the church, the body of Christ, has a different destination than the citizens of the kingdom on earth. Mark that. Put that down on your tablet. The citizens of the earthly kingdom of God will dwell on the earth. To them God has promised a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. But the citizens of the church shall dwell on high. They shall enjoy the new heavens, of which the new Jerusalem will be the capital city. Ours is a high calling, or the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3:14. That is, we are called to go up. We are not called to stay on the earth. That is why Peter and James in their writings never speak of the translation of the saints, nor of the glory on high. They wrote especially to people who shall dwell on earth. They never spoke of our union with Christ, nor of our wealth in him. They wrote nothing of bridal hopes or relationships. Confusion reigns in Bible study where these facts are not observed. My friend, this will explain to you why there are so many companies of believers on earth and they do not seem to agree and get along well together. It is something like an incident of which I heard. A widower had several children, wedded a widow who had several children. To this newly married couple, other children were born. One day, the wife exclaimed very excitedly, "Husband, your children and my children are quarreling with our children." That is the way it is in Christendom. There are different sets or grades of children, yet they all belong to the same great family, the household of God. It seems like the saints fight and bite one another and that they cannot agree. They fail to see eye to eye. James said, "Brethren, these things ought not so to be." But the Holy Spirit made Paul to know that so it would be, because some will not seek the Lord with all the heart. I want to tell you that the people that really are filled with the Holy Spirit and under his tutorage fill up on the word of God according to Paul's doctrine. These people understand all other grades of Christian experience because they are seated in the heavenlies and believe it. If you want to look all over the city and see all the skyscrapers and the manufacturers of Kansas City, just get in an airplane and go up a few hundred feet and look down. Well, that is just the way it is in this spiritual realm. Some saints have learned by Paul's writings that they are seated in the heavenlies in Christ. By faith, they accept it. If ye be raised with Christ, why, as though living on earth, are ye subject to ordinances? That implies that we are not living on earth, we are living in heaven, raised up together and seated together with Christ Jesus in the heavenlies. We look at things as God looks at them. Though we are not there in our bodies, we are there in our spirit by faith. Instead of sitting down here and looking up, we are up there and looking down, and we understand what is going on. He that is spiritual discerneth all things. I want you to know that I understand something of what is going on in Christendom. I am little and unknown as far as this great world of Christianity is concerned, but I know what is going on. I understand the signs of the times, and by this book I am able to tell what is coming to pass and just about when it is going to come to pass. That is the profit now of being seated in the heavenlies, and it is wonderful when we grow up into Christ and are led by the Spirit of God and get our teaching and training from this book. I say it is wonderful how we can locate other Christian people. We classify them instinctively, their speech betrayeth them. We are not with them very long. We do not read much of their writings till we know in what class they belong. We cannot help ourselves. Discernment is instinctive, I say. A rose smells differently from a lilac, and both of them differently from a potato blossom, and you cannot help noting the difference. I say it humbly, not critically. Men in the Lot class cannot understand us. Why not? Because they live on too low a plane, they reject the gift of the Spirit, or if they receive him, they fail to walk in the Spirit and conform to God's word. They do not grow up into Christ in all things. Some even admit that they are still babes in Christ, as if that were humility, whereas the word rebukes those who are always babes and have need of milk when they ought to be teachers. Hebrews 5:12 through 14. Everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, even though he claims to be a teacher. It is to be feared that the land abounds with ministers who are yet only prattling babes. They ought to be what they are supposed to be, namely teachers. But because they are only milk bottle Christians, they have need that one teach them what are the elements of the beginning of the oracles of God. That is, they need milk instead of solid food. What a shame. Such believers are so ignorant of the truth that they do not know that they are infants, or they refuse to yield absolutely, unconditionally to the Spirit of God. They turn away from the word when they read it or hear it. When we surrender absolutely to God and let the Spirit have his full way in our lives, then he begins to lift us up and illuminate our minds. As we continue to yield to him, he leads us on. The higher up we go in the scale, the smaller our company, until finally it culminates in Jesus Christ and his bride. Jesus will have the highest place, yet there is a company of believers joined so closely with him, which is his bride, that will share all his glory. They are the ones that understand what is going on now on the earth. It is just wonderful, friends. We need to be charitable towards people that do not see what we see. We need to pray for them. We see things that the majority of Christians do not see. God has not revealed it to them. Often they are to blame because when he has revealed light to them, they refuse to walk in it. If he gives you a ray of light today and you turn away from it, you probably will not get another ray of light tomorrow, because each ray of light prepares for another step. I am so glad that God has revealed all his truth to us, and we can preach the same gospel that the kingdom gospelizers preach, but far more. We believe in the fundamentals. We agree with the fundamentalists. We have no fault to find with Dr. Torrey, nor the Plymouth Brethren, nor the Moody Institute as to foundation truth. They preach the grace of God as to the fundamentals, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. We agree with them. But we go way beyond all those things. Every house has a superstructure as well as a foundation. We take in more and give out more. The building must be complete and perfect. We ought to be glad that God has shown us more, not be mad at them, but glad that God has done it. Praise the Lord. Finally, beloved, to which company do you belong? Are you chiefly interested in the things of the kingdom on earth or in the heavenly kingdom? What are your aspirations? To do and see big things accomplished here, or to know and have fellowship with the big man in the glory? Which do you love most? What is your supreme desire? To see many Christians or to see Christ? What is your highest ambition? To win men to Christ now, or to gain Christ as your exceeding great reward in the glory? What is your eternal hope? Simply to be saved from hell, or dwell with Christ in glory? To be with the vast throng who shall wave palms of victory, or with a smaller group who shall wear crowns of gold? Do you long only to stand before the throne in heaven? Or are you yearning to sit with the King of the ages and reign as his queen conjointly with him forever? You may have your choice, my brother. At the depot, take a stand. You may reign on earth with Jacob, or with Christ in glory land. Choose this day the highest calling. Choose to bear the heavenly brand. This concludes the readings of the spiritual studies in the Acts by A.S. Copley.